Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Also available on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Podbean.
You already said Podbean.
SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Steve and Larson. And we really appreciate all the support you guys have been giving us by hitting that download and subscribe button, by checking us out. Look, even if you're enjoying our show, you know, on the YouTubes, it really, really benefits the show to get on your little dilly-dally device here, your little smartphone, and hit that download button. Hit the subscribe button. Maybe leave a rating, a review, all that kind of stuff. We on any platform. It really helps out the show.
Yes.
I'm happy to say that I haven't checked in the last 2 days, or maybe since like yesterday, but we haven't fallen out of the top 150 in the sports category on iTunes in like a good couple of weeks. And I'm very, very excited about that. That makes me very, very happy. I just want to climb up those goddamn ranks, Larson.
Yeah.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Man, we're killing it, man. We got 28 people watching right now. That's like
well, approaching, 26 other than us.
That's like approaching a record.
We've been in the 30s before.
Have we been in the 30s?
I think
really?
35 was our
peak.
Well,
we used to, yeah, but then we threw a curveball at everybody because we're assholes. We changed the time that we're
doing
this.
Well, that's not because we're assholes. Because with live SmackDown on Tuesdays now, we need to get this up sooner.
Okay, that's the thing.
That's really the thing.
Here's the thing. There's two things to talk about the Patreon really quick. We're totally fine. Like, if anybody has put in money to the Patreon.
Yeah.
And we changed the hour of the live stream.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big selling points for you. We're not going to think you're assholes for dropping out of the Patreon.
Yeah, because you can't watch the live stream now.
We're
yeah.
totally cool yeah. with the reward aspect of things being the driving point. And if you can't do it anymore because we can't get our shit together, we totally understand. But one of the things about the show is we like to get these up as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And when we had an opening in our work schedule that allowed us to do it sooner, that's why we did it sooner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying after SummerSlam, seeing if maybe we can do one of the weekly shows live and at the 3 o'clock hour.
We should be able to do the Wednesday show, the SmackDown recap.
The SmackDown
later in the day.
One, maybe even yeah. the Dirt Sheet one.
Yeah.
We can figure it out. But we want to, you know what phrase that I heard before from Warren Buffett? Not Jimmy Buffett. He's good, but Warren Buffett. He said, when it comes to your customers, you should. It wasn't fillet them. It was be exceptional or some shit like that. I don't know. That guy's rich as shit.
That's not a very good quote.
No?
No.
I think it's a great quote, to be honest with you. So anyway,
well, at least as you said, it wasn't a very good quote.
So anyways, look, if you guys, anybody who's put in even a dollar to the show, we love you so much. You guys kicking in $50 every month. Good God. Thank you very much. That's fucking outstanding. But anyways, yeah, the bottom line is, you know, we love the support. We love you guys buying into the community. But yeah. if you, at any point, you're like, hey, you know, these guys swerved us, feel free to drop out. We're going to yeah. get those shirts out and the comic book. So we're going to transition now because I'm going to talk about the comic book a little bit. I'm going to get this son of a bitch done, hopefully, on the plane ride to New York City, Larson.
Yeah.
Because this weekend, Thursday, we're flying out to New York for SummerSlam. We finally got the confirmation yesterday. And oh my God, you texted me before I was able to text you. The good folks over at WWE 2K17 are throwing a big shindig to kick off SummerSlam, and we've been invited. So we're hoping that this is going to lead to some interviews, some really cool travel vlog
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of content on our channel revolving around this trip.
Right, exactly. So we're looking to, we're clearing off all the space on our phones, getting ready to shoot a lot of stuff. And this is really exciting. They're bringing us for this party, and then they're hooking us up with the SummerSlam tickets. We get an early hands-on play of WWE 2K17, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we're in the process of figuring out the dynamics of our very first Friendo Going In Raw meetup in New York City.
Yeah.
Chances are we're gonna do it Saturday prior to NXT because we got our tickets for NXT. And we're going to try to arrange something maybe near the Barclays Center.
Correct. In Brooklyn, yeah.
In Brooklyn, prior to NXT, our first friendo meetup there in New York City. So if any of you guys out there are interested, stay tuned to our Twitter accounts, at Steven Larson or at Real Going In Raw,
yeah,
for all the info regarding that. I can't wait for that. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if anybody that's local to mm-hmm. Brooklyn, around the Barclays Center, if there's any good places to meet,
right.
Let us know.
One of our friendos, Anthony Nunya, mentioned, he said, hey, you know, I'm kind of from the area. I might have some ideas. So we're definitely going to reach out to him.
Yeah.
And if anybody else out there has some suggestions, be sure to let us know. I just want to throw this out. Before we get started, we're gonna drop a little bit of news first before we get into our Raw recap.
Yeah.
But first, I just want to give a shout out to the patrons who have donated in the past, over the past week. Our new Patreon friendos, Dan Boss, Justin Simmerly, Ronald E. Adams, Paul Purvis, Kid Deuce, sorry if I messed up your name, Eager34, Dakota Miller, Alex Sesney, Brian Isidro, Bear Jew, Naji Poles, Austin Gouveia, Tim Souter, I'm reading these like these, Sam C. Disney, 17, Lorenzo Bellini.
Wasn't Sam Disney last week?
I don't know, probably.
That name sounds familiar.
I'm going over it. I'm overlapping now anyways. So, yeah, thanks for your support. We really, really appreciate it. Be sure to check out patreon.com/StephenLarson. Check out all the rewards we've got there. So, right before we go into our Raw cap, we're going to do things a little bit different. We noticed that our dirt sheet edition of Going In Raw usually does pretty well. I think you guys like the news stuff. So, instead of just loading up all the news just on that show, we're going to do a little news bit here to kick off the show.
Yeah.
And it's not really news, but we're going to speculate. So a couple days ago...
I mean, it's kind of surprising that... anyways, go in.
A couple days ago... here's the news bit. Look at this fucking piece of crap. Whenever I hit the reset button on my hair...
You don't like it.
I never like it. It always takes me like 3 weeks for me to be cool with it. It looks like a helmet that I just put on my hair. And went,
yeah, it's like a...
But then when it's longer, I can't do shit with it. Every day it's different. I have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah, a hair helmet. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, hair helmet.
Yeah.
What do you think it was? I don't know. I look like a Gil Jones. Remember Gil Jones of the 21st century?
No, I thought you were... I think Frankie Avalon.
Oh, yeah, no. This was like... It looks like I've got Ken, like original G.I. Joe hair.
Yeah.
How it's like just sort of molded onto the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Let's talk some.
They really did cut that short, didn't they?
Let's talk some Bill Goldberg.
Okay, sorry.
That's not cut.
Let's spend the whole episode analyzing your hair.
Let's talk about me being bald.
Wait, put your head down for a second.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Here, I'm doing it.
Look, it might. I know you shouldn't do that. I have some stuff that you can put back there, like little fibers.
No.
Hey, man, when you get to be our age, you got to do whatever you can.
I'm totally comfortable losing my hair. I don't care.
I know you're comfortable looking like a fucking mess. Let's put some shit in there. Foley did it. Foley used
I'm not going to put anything in my beard, no.
Can we make it so that your beard is a different color from your hair?
Because that's what it already is.
Huh? I don't mean gray. I mean like blonde.
No.
No?
Okay. Not going to happen.
Whatever. I'll do it.
I'm going to grow old gracefully.
Larson, is there the potential that we're going to see Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg 2? And does anybody want to see that?
I'm sure there's the potential for it. I don't know if anybody wants to see it, but it could happen.
Here's the thing. I think people want to see it because... there's the nostalgia value of seeing Bill Goldberg back in the ring.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar.
And also the last time they were in the ring together, it wasn't that great.
Well, that's sort of my question, though, is that to me, when I think of Bill Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, there is the circus sort of aspect of it. Like, oh, it's a spectacle, but it's going to be like more of a train wreck because their last go around was awful. It was historically bad.
Yeah.
I mean, people refer to that as just in the worst.
And it was
way.
Made worse by the fact that the crowd knew they were both leaving.
I think it was made really getting. I think it was made. It was made really bad because of that. Like initially, yeah. Because everybody knew. So let's backtrack. We're talking about this because a couple days ago, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman cut like a really small promo, sort of because of the 2K17 thing. Bill Goldberg is a pre-order downloadable character.
Brock Lesnar is the on the cover.
Right, he's the cover guy. And there seems to be some indication that 2K released like sort of their rundown of like features of the game.
Yeah.
Sort of went like, I didn't notice when they did this, but then a couple people were talking on Twitter about it. And apparently there's not going to be a showcase mode. Because they said mainly because Brock's career has covered such a span that so many of those wrestlers back then, I would think like Kurt Angle's one of them.
Yeah.
Where they'd have, because him and Kurt Angle are linked like this.
Yes.
Benoit, Guerrero. I'm sure Guerrero.
Yeah.
Was Guerrero in the last one?
No, he was in 14.
Okay. He's been in previous. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I wouldn't think that Guerrero would be an issue, but obviously Benoit is an issue. Angle's probably an issue. There's probably others that are an issue. And so they're not going to do a Brock Lesnar show. They're not doing a showcase mode because of the rights issues.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They're going to be concentrating heavily on the My Career thing. And I think your speculation about Paul Heyman being the Paul Heyman guy mode,
yeah.
If you look at NBA 2K16, they did the Spike Lee joint thing, which was I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Like they made more of a story out of the My Career thing.
Yeah.
And so I hope they do something similar with this. And then they're expanding the universe mode where they're going to have like promo, like they have a promo engine.
That's cool.
And so I think we might be inching closer to the custom story thing that we saw before that we really, really loved.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye out. But in relation to that, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman did a quick little promo thing where Paul Heyman says, you know, Bill Goldberg, Brock Lesnar has a message for you, basically.
Yeah.
And Brock just says, hey, Bill.
You're next.
You're next.
It was a little more impassioned.
You thought there was verve to it?
There was a little bit
of verve to it. I think to me it came off like he knew that it was kind of cheesy, but he was okay with it. That's how it came off to me.
Okay,
because you know Brock Lesnar doesn't. He doesn't. Brock Lesnar does like when you saw with Heath Slater last night. He does stern dad.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit about your kids.
Yeah,
it wasn't. I don't give a shit. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like McMahon over dramatic shit.
I don't give a shit about your kids.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, but he gives you the look that he's going to eat you in a second. And so that's kind of the thing he did with kind of a half smile on his face, as far as I remember. Anyways.
Yeah, but anyways, that, of course, started speculation.
Speculation!
That this was all a tease for a future match between Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
And so this morning, you know, there's all sorts of speculation on the dirt sheet saying, well, you know, that they're... It's not a foregone conclusion that there won't be something at WrestleMania, but it's not a foregone conclusion that there will be something at WrestleMania. But the WWE has been looking to, and we'll source this in the description below because off the top of my head, I can't remember who it was that said this, but said that backstage they're looking into possibilities that Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar might have some sort of interaction at SummerSlam because Goldberg's supposed to be there to promote 2K17 this weekend. And so it makes sense to have him do something, whether that's actually affecting the outcome of his Randy Orton match and maybe getting Orton the win and not making Brock look too bad, or just some sort of backstage stare down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is definitely, this throws sort of another wrench into the whole Bill Goldberg, Randy Orton. I'm sorry, the Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton match.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
I would suspect some sort of stare down backstage being the most likely scenario.
I'm sort of in agreement with that. I think any interference on Goldberg's part with Randy Orton, if let's say scenario A, Orton's supposed to win.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to happen. Are you on that side of the fence? Or are you on the
other
side
of
the fence? Okay, you're not quite there. What's your percentage now?
Still about 35-65 in Brock's favor.
Okay, all right.
That could change after SmackDown tonight.
I'm on the 55-45 fence on Orton, which is very, you know...
Pretty much a coin flip.
Exactly. So I would suspect that if they want Orton to win, they want him to look strong. And I think they could still get away with him looking strong and Brock looking strong and Brock taking the loss somehow. I really don't see it being a clean win for Orton.
No.
But I also don't see it being as dramatic as Bill, because then Bill Goldberg's sort of stealing the spotlight from everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they want to make this the Bill Goldberg show.
If Goldberg comes out during the match, I'd be very surprised if he gets involved physically.
Right.
He might just come out and serve as a distraction.
I think that your initial gut reaction is probably the truest one or the most likely to have happen, because you see that kind of stuff more in keeping with promoting a product, you know, sort of a backstage encounter, and then you have your straight up match. But Bill Goldberg's in really good shape. So it wouldn't surprise me necessarily, you know, everything sort of time, like they say, time heals all wounds, and that I think goes with a lot of relationships as well. And so any relationship issues he might have had with the WWE, by evidence from the podcast he did with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is actually a really good one, he seems to be completely at peace with his time in the WWE. He's always seemed to be a guy who's had a pretty good perspective on things.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to hear. You know, we clown Goldberg a little bit for his recklessly ending Bret Hart's career. But he has shown quite a bit of remorse and regret over that, and I applaud that,
yeah.
You know. And he does seem to be a guy who's got a lot of really good perspective and a good head on his shoulders. Whenever you hear him in interviews, he seems to be immune from the business bullshit that can often go on. He always seems to have a good, you know, when they say, should you have been booked this? Should you have been booked that? Like, I know this is on the Austin podcast and also in the Rise and Fall of WCW doc they did years ago. He's always the kind of guy who's like, yeah, you know, I'm not the booker. I'm not the creative guy. That's
not in
me.
Yeah.
And so I just did what they said, you know,
and
he's given his opinion on whether or not the only thing he said on the Stone Cold podcast where he disagreed with stuff and demanded a change to it was when they had him go heel. He said that lasted 3 days. He said, because I couldn't take the Make-A-Wish stuff. He said, so many kids had looked up to me. And when you look a kid in the eye who has cancer, who's going to die within a couple of years or sooner than that. He says, I couldn't take it. I just couldn't do it. He said, I went back and I said, no, I'm going back to being a face. I don't care what you have to do.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
Because there are things that transcend storyline. There are things that are transcending, you know, what the storyline demands.
Yeah.
And I like that about Bill Goldberg. So do I want to see him come back at WrestleMania? I don't know. Maybe for the spectacle. Maybe, you know, to see what it would be like, if it would be entertaining. It'd be different for Brock Lesnar, at least.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. Will it happen? I'm on the 60%. I'm on the 70% chance. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm about the same.
Okay, yeah. But it'll be... Hey, you know what? This makes SummerSlam a bit more interesting right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyways, that brings us to the go-home show for SummerSlam.
Raw!
Raw!
Sorry if you're listening on headphones. I should have said raw upwards instead of
I have to put that on my checklist of things to make sure your levels are down when you do that now. Do you know why?
Because it's loud.
I don't want to get our listeners to be deaf.
So how did the show open? With Seth Rollins outside the arena looking for the Demon King, Finn Balor.
I really wish at one point they did a Burger King integration where he found the Burger King instead.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? It keeps on popping up. Offering him a Whopper.
Oh, I hit your mic. I'm sorry.
General idea on Raw last night. I really felt the 3 hours.
If this were any other Raw and not a go-home show, I'd been like, okay, this is a mediocre Raw. It's had some high points.
But the friendos that I interact with on the Twitters, at Real Going In Raw during my live tweeting sessions of the show, understood that at 7 o'clock, I said, you know what? The haircut place is closing in an hour. I can't take this anymore. I got to go.
You're having trouble with your streaming, too,
At that point, it was fine. At that point, Sling TV had come through, and I was fine. So I could have sat there and watched the rest of it. It just felt so long last night. It felt really long to me.
I started later, so there's portions in the show that I fast-forwarded through.
Mm-hmm. But I caught the rest of it on Hulu. So it starts off with Seth outside. He's looking for the Demon King. So that was setting up his story for the night.
Yeah.
The debut of the Demon King.
Where he kind of half-heartedly looked for Finn Balor.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about that and how it all culminated. Instead of going beat by beat, let's just do that. Seth, throughout the show, was kind of cartoonishly, and as you said on our Machinima recap show, half-heartedly.
Well, I also just said it.
Exactly. Looking for the Demon King. See, I just tune you out.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just waiting to talk here. Looking for the Demon King. And this, eventually, after not finding him, after having a cool little back and forth, I like Neville, dude.
Yeah.
I like Neville. He's the one guy who I can get behind and never have to listen to him talk. But when he talks, I want it to matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He ran into him backstage, and Neville was like, dude, you don't know what you're getting into. Like, I faced off against the Demon King, and you're changed. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it felt like it was kind of goofy. Demon King! Demon King! Where are you, Demon King?
Whenever he says Demon King, it almost sounds like he's saying Demon Kane.
Everybody on Twitter was saying the exact same thing.
Well, I think I read that beforehand, and then watching the
show.
Then
it stuck in your
head. Yeah, it stuck in my head. It's like, gosh, he's the same Kane, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Why are they referring to him? I know Balor is, like, the English translation that is supposed to be Demon King.
I think they're just up it in a notch.
But they never, I know, but they never referred to him as such in NXT.
They did not. I think that's just a way to bring it up another level, I guess. Now he's the King of Demons. I don't know. This culminated with him in the backstage office with Stephanie and Mick Foley.
Yeah, and he said, well, I can't find Demon King. I guess I'll take the night off. And Foley says, well, you should go look for him out in the ring.
Call out.
Unless you're scared.
Yeah.
It was like someone calling Marty McFly chicken.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much.
You chicken!
Seth is like, I'm not scared.
Foley always really creeped me out in the Back to the Future movie.
Why?
But he was just, they made him too much. They made him too weird.
Oh, okay.
And Flea's already a weird guy. You know, he's like on the screen and they're like, they're in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, what's wrong, McFly? Chicken. And then his boss gets in there and he's like, you're fired. And they get a telefax.
Anyway, so yeah, Rollins comes out to the ring, talks for a bit, and then the lights start acting weird. And
yeah.
Out comes Finn Balor, Demon King.
Yeah, Demon Kane comes out.
And it's, I don't know why they did that on Raw and not save it for SummerSlam.
Okay, devil's advocate here. Demon King's advocate here. Because I agree with you completely. This should have been a nut that went off at SummerSlam. Completely. And you mentioned this during the recap show. They should have teased it. They should have had spectacle. Like when The Undertaker wasn't showing around when Bray Wyatt and him were having that feud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And The Undertaker, they just did a bunch of pyro and special effects and a video package and stuff.
Yeah.
Do something similar. I know Finn Balor's in the building. You can use him in some manner like that. But I don't, maybe, how about this? Instead, Fonzie comes out. Fonzie Balor comes out.
He should come out and almost do like a Bruce Banner Hulk thing where he's like,
right.
Stop pushing my buttons.
Right, exactly. And in
buttons.
Coordination with what he's saying, with him being very serious. Because up until now, he's been sort of cocky,
yeah,
not overly serious about it, not selling that it's a serious thing. This should have been the next step of, like, he told, okay, so week one or whatever it was, of this whole Demon King thing, he gave Seth the lore of the Demon King, you know, and it's sort of him whimsically telling the story of the Demon King. And then that was last week. Okay, so that was sort of our first taste. So this week needed to be him selling how serious of a situation you're in right now. And it needed to be a bigger, more imposing storm on its way.
Yeah.
As opposed to the storm being here now.
Yeah.
That's what it needed to be. It needed to be theatrics. Maybe he's in the rafters like Sting, although that's Sting's thing. You don't want to do that again. Something like that, where he shows up in silhouette form.
Yeah.
Something. But maybe the thought is that's a big... No, I don't know. I mean, you see him, you want more of him.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the line of
maybe
thought
they
there.
Think if they introduce him on Raw, that'll entice people to watch the show itself, to see the Demon King in action.
That's all I can think about. That's all I
in
can
think.
In terms
of the spectacle and the storytelling, it should have waited till SummerSlam, though.
Here's my thing about the Demon King thing, too, is that there was a difference in his general, or in the specifics of his makeup.
Yeah.
In the details, because he had like all sorts of writing on it.
Yeah.
I thought they should have gone much further in elevating the presentation, because if the presentation is the thing, then it needs to look bigger and badder and better than it did in NXT.
Yes.
And here it actually looked somewhat lessened, because he didn't have the... At some point, he took the thing off.
He was in the ring when he took it off.
Okay. So he did take the thing off. Okay.
Yeah. No, he had his usual headgear.
The headgear,
and
okay.
And the things on his arms, yeah.
It needed to be, I don't know, it needed to be more.
It needed to be more
and less, if you put it that way.
Well, I think also part of it is when he's doing it at the NXT arena, it's a smaller place.
Or he comes out as Fonzie, but with the jacket on. And he's got some of the Demon King underneath somehow. I don't know. I'm not the guy there.
It should have been a Bruce Banner Incredible Hulk thing.
That's exactly right. That's a good analogy right there. That's what it should have been. Was it effective? stepped it up a notch, I guess.
I still think that his moveset needs to drastically change when he's Demon King form.
He does bigger demon movements, though.
Yeah.
He does more the flare.
I know, but it's still all showmanship. It's not in terms of actual the physicality of how he wrestles.
Yeah.
It's all in his movements. It's all spectacle.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree, but I see where you're coming from with that. Let's see here. It was another Rusev heavy episode last night, Larson, and that gets us the thumbs up. Yeah, so this is what I like. There's no IC title on Raw anymore.
It's the U.S. title, until there's Universal Champion, is the top belt on Raw
right now.
It's
the top belt.
And they're treating it as such.
And even when the Universal title comes up, you're going to have... Okay, let's run this down. Seth, Rusev, who else is really legitimately going to get... Possibly Kevin Owens.
For the Universal title?
For the Universal title.
Well, assuming Finn wins, he'll still be in the mix.
Because, okay, who's above Rusev right now? Who's above?
I'd say Owens.
Sami Zayn's not.
No.
Especially not now.
No.
Rollins, Balor.
Rusev.
No, Rusev can't be above Rusev. This is Rusev.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, I thought you meant in contention for the...
Well, no. Who's above Rusev? Who's above the U.S. title? It's very, very select few.
Yeah.
Right now, it's basically Rollins and Balor.
Yeah.
And then maybe Reigns once he gets out of the doghouse. But I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I think it's going to be... I honestly think it's going to be... Balor's going to get it unless the club interferes with, which I think is very possible at this point. I think it's, especially with like what's going on at house shows and shit with Rollins, you know, dicking around with AJ in the club and shit like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a possibility. That I think if Rollins wins, it's going to be because of the club.
Yeah.
But it's rarefied air up there in Universal Belt territory. Yeah. U.S. title is now, for the rest of that roster...
Yeah, the belt to go for.
The belt that they can go for. I mean, look at Rusev. He fought Titus O'Neil. That guy is firmly up there in the roster, but he's not going for that Universal title anytime soon. Rusev beat him.
Yeah.
Who else? And now Darren Young is sort of looking to leapfrog Titus in their feud. So that might put him up there with the U.S. title. That's a reasonable goal for him to fight Rusev for that belt.
So, yeah. And then you have Cesaro, who recently fought for the U.S.
Cesaro and Sheamus are both in the U.S. title.
And you could have Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn for sure,
yeah. In that scene as well.
So you basically have the rest of that mid card all fighting for that belt, not the Universal belt, but that belt. And the cool thing about that is there's no IC title to sort of start splitting those.
Yeah.
All those people are going to be going for that US title.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a really strong
belt. If you have several people trying to get it.
And it already has. Yeah. Like if you look at that belt versus the IC belt over on SmackDown.
Well, I know, because the last two Raws of the main event has been US title or matches involving the U.S. champion.
Right, exactly. And that's and I think that's a good thing. We got Roman Reigns got his win last night on Raw.
Yeah.
Is that our lock right now? What's our lock? Our lock has to be Rusev retains. Has to be, right?
He's not going to... You think that's the lock above Ambrose retaining? I think we both agree that's the lock. Ambrose is going to retain that belt.
Yes, you're right.
That's got to be the lock.
I think it's kind of a wash. There's got to be a bigger lock. There has to be a bigger lock. I don't think it's Balor Rollins. I don't think that's a lock.
No, that's not a lock.
I still think. What's your thought on that right now?
It's still 50-50.
50, yeah, I think it's firmly 50-50.
Because they're not going to have Balor lose clean.
They're not going to have Balor lose clean, but the club could open up a wealth of storylines. And it's the kind of thing where the club's not involved with that right now.
Yeah.
But I could see that being
a thing
where they hop into it.
Yeah.
And not lose any luster. And with them having the tag belts and Rollins having the Universal belt, having sort of an informal coalition, that could be money. I could like that. Speaking of the tag belts, let's talk New Day and the Dudleys.
I like this more intense, aggressive New Day.
As do I. I think when the stakes are raised, Big E has been what do they call it? The politis or something like that.
Oh, ring postitis.
Yeah. I think with him on the shelf, it's given Xavier and Kofi, but in my opinion, to a bigger degree, Xavier Woods, a much bigger canvas to work with, much higher stakes, so they're not as jokey. In fact, it felt kind of awkward last night when they started into the New Day Rocks thing. I know they have to do that sort of out of obligation.
Yeah.
Because the crowd needs that. You know,
if you pay
money for a ticket, you need to start chanting New Day Rocks. But the fact, and I know that the club were being jokey, But the New Day's response wasn't really jokey-jokey.
Yeah.
And they then launched into that New Day Rocks thing, but they were serious. And that's, I think, to me, it was like, man, they didn't have to do that. Yeah. It felt kind of off that they did that. Maybe because I just like Big E standing there doing his, you know, jiggly, wiggling hips. So the New Day took on the Dudleys, beat them. The club did their silly thing. New Day cut a promo on them.
Nads.
We have to
mention the nads on the microwave. The nad button.
It's a nads. I love those guys. God, I love those guys. And then later on, Golden Truth were beat by the club. New Day tried some shenanigans with them. Do you see the club going over at SummerSlam?
Yes.
I think I do too. But I think it'll be a really interesting program after that for the New Day and the club.
Yeah.
Really testing. I think there might be, I mean, now that they've broken the record, there might be the, and for those listening at home, I did the quotation marks because Demolition
they
has
They mentioned
the
Demolition.
Oh, did they really?
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
They did?
Yeah, they just said it was for the old tag belts, essentially. The world tag team titles, not the WWE ones. But they mentioned it.
Boy.
490 whatever days.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Michael Cole mentioned it.
That might change things. Ooh, that might change things. Unless they don't view that as...
No, he said they have the record for the longest reigning WWE tag champions, but he kind of mentioned it, you know, saying, but the record for the old belts was Demolition so many days, but we're just, you know, concentrating on the new belts, essentially.
Okay.
So I think it was more to address criticism
I agree. I know.
Setting another benchmark for the New Day to hit. Mm. That's another half a year, pretty much. Third of a year, they have to hold the belts.
Which isn't that bad.
Yeah, 4 months.
I think it'd draw them in Mania. I don't know. That might throw a wrench in the plans for me.
Well, we'll save our official predictions for later in the week.
Okay, sounds good. So let's see here. We had... So Sheamus and Cesaro, we can talk about them real quick.
I like they're doing a best of seven.
I do too.
Like that a lot.
So it was announced that the Sheamus and Cesaro are going to kick off a best of seven series starting at SummerSlam.
They say what would the winner of this series gain anything from it? Would they get a title shot? Or is it just bragging rights?
I think it's just bragging rights. Okay. There was nothing in there about a title shot.
Okay. I just kind of wish it was Cesaro and Sami Zayn.
I agree completely and totally. Absolutely. This should be. Because I would love to see seven matches with those two. They could kill it.
Mm-hmm.
They could kill it. They could bring something new every time.
Yep.
I don't have faith that Sheamus is going to bring something new for two matches in a row, let alone seven. That's me. I'm giving Sheamus a clean slate, but I also am well aware of his history of underperforming in my eyes.
Yeah.
A lot of famous Sheamus fans out there.
I know.
What can he do? We can't love everybody. Let's see here. No, go ahead.
Jericho.
Okay, good. That's where I was going to go next. All right. How does Tom Phillips...
Keep a straight face.
On top of that, he's standing there bow-legged. He's got his legs spread because he's taller than everybody in the company.
Well, not everybody, but a lot of people.
Not taller than Roman Reigns. He walked up to Roman Reigns backstage... And, you know, you can't walk up to somebody and then do it. I wonder if he had to strategically
do it. You could walk in a squat.
You could walk in a squat. But I think they were kind of wide on him. So in his mind, it probably would have been weird.
Well, Roman Reigns is 6'3 or something.
And I think he's 6'3. But Tom was up there with him. That's why I'm like, oh, okay, Roman's a tall dude.
Yeah.
So he has to squat because he's taller than KO and Jericho. And they did an absolutely hilarious promo.
Where they kept on calling him the wrong name.
And how Tom Phillips kept a straight face, how any of these guys kept a straight face, I have no idea. It was
at one
great.
Point, didn't Jericho kind of...
He said something like, you think this is funny?
Yeah,
because I think he started to crack a little bit. That was great.
Those guys are all such pros.
They're great. So then Big Cass and KO had a fight. And listen up, God. Either going to be a dud to win.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins, baby. And I know I've gotten so much heat in our YouTube comments, which are now filled with venom and viscera, because they don't know what a dusty finish is. Idiots. They're idiots. This is the price of success, people.
I guess so.
We start getting all these hateful comments in the YouTubes. That's okay, though. I don't care. Yeah, it was a dusty finish. I'm going to call it a dusty finish. I call it whatever I want to call it. Yeah, nobody won. Nobody won, baby. Yeah, so that sets up more. There was a pretty decent promo there with Cass and Enzo, as always, talking about barbecuing stuff.
How you doing?
And boygish, Frankfurtish. Oh goodness! And then let's see here. What else do we have going on?
Nia Jax squashed.
Oh, I was so sad. That little girl was so cute. She was so colorful and cute, and she gave a really good inspirational.
Yeah, her promo was great. Rachel Levy was her name.
Interview with Byron Saxton in the ring, which he totally no sold. He was like, "All right, well, good luck."
No, that's him selling though. That's his reactions to.
No, I know he no sold her enthusiasm, which is him selling it exactly. Yeah, and so she gets absolutely destroyed by the Beast Incarnate, Nia Jax. No Braun Strowman this week.
Nope, just the video package.
I wonder what that was all about. Oh, we did get a video package?
Yeah, there's a video package. That one.
Okay. Well, good for him. Let's see here. So that was cool. I wonder, who do you think Nia Jax's first actual opponent is going to be? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Bayley? To NXT.
I think Bayley's.
You think she's going to go SmackDown? Yeah. Anyways.
Do you think they would?
Charlotte?
No. Do you think they would do a Sasha Nia Jax program after SummerSlam?
I could see that. They never really mixed it up in NXT, did they? They might have, but not in a program. Not in a feud.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
That could be a possibility.
Let's see here. What else we got going on?
The primetime players.
We never did like thoroughly actually say what happened at that main event. Reigns went over Rusev.
Yeah, it was a really good match. They gave him like a half hour.
We started ranting about a lock. Rusev went over. I'm sorry, Reigns went over.
Yeah.
For Lana's, what was it, Lana's Honor or some shit like that. This is a match obviously we're going to see at SummerSlam. Reigns goes over, which makes me think that's why he's going to go.
Yeah.
He's going to lose.
That Rusev's going to win it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see here. We had, in the women's division, Charlotte gave the what for to Dana Brooke, said, "You're a failure."
Yeah.
I did all this for you, but you're an epic failure. I get that sounds like Vince McMahon literally scripted that himself.
I know. And then, Charlotte had a match with Alicia Fox.
Right.
She won. And after that match, she called Sasha Banks, who was on commentary, down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were mixing it up, Dana Brooke comes out. Help Charlotte get the upper hand.
Yeah.
And Charlotte put Sasha in the figure eight.
Yeah.
So.
It's going to be a good match. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Sasha retains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here.
Primetime players.
This was fucking weird.
It was kind of odd that they reformed for one night.
So after, I was missing a piece of the puzzle. It's funny, too, because I was tweeting. I was like, you know, it said, "Hey, there's a primetime players coming out." I was like, did I go into a multi? Did I slip in the multiverse somehow?
You traveled back in time 2 years.
No, it was just the they did something in the pre-show.
Yeah,
where they came back together for one night. But I mean, Titus has been a heel,
kind of. Yeah.
So I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
And maybe there's a. I was thinking to myself, maybe I missed something on Superstars.
No, or, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think if that had happened, they would have shown it or talked about it.
They would have shown it, right.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No.
Instead, it was just an obvious setup for Titus to turn on his tag team.
But only after Darren hit him.
So then Titus O'Neil turns on Darren Young, and that's it. They're going to have, I'm assuming, a pre-show match. Hasn't been confirmed, though. Probably be confirmed on Superstars this week. Well, what day does Superstars even air?
That's a good question. I don't know if I watched Superstars in 15 years.
It autoplays after SmackDown.
On Hulu?
Yeah.
See, I don't have Hulu.
But I haven't watched SmackDown on Hulu since it went live.
So. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, the primetime players took on the Shining Stars.
Who went over because of the dissension in the ranks with primetime players? We're going to get... Who goes over? Make Darren Young great again or Titus O'Neil in the SummerSlam pre-show match, which we know is going to happen.
Darren Young.
Yeah, I agree with that. Is that their blow-off? Or do we get more?
I don't know either.
I don't care. Let's see here. Is that it?
I think so.
Sami Zayn got the win over Sheamus after Cesaro. Sami Zayn, now he goes back. Sami Zayn has nothing to do.
I know.
At SummerSlam, nothing to do. Who else has nothing to do? Neville has nothing to do.
True.
Neville versus Sami Zayn.
Best of seven.
Look, as much as I would love that, I'm saying realistically right now, maybe put them on the pre-show. Who wins, though?
Best of nine. Oh, Sammy goes over.
You think Sammy goes over? Yeah, over Neville, really?
I would think Sammy
goes over. Oh, Neville fought, though. Neville took on... who did Neville take on? Took on somebody.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Fuck me. Who was it? Neville versus... Hold on a second. Do you guys know...
Jinder Mahal.
Oh, that's right. So much for pushing that guy. They did bring him in to be a high-profile jobber. Not even a medium-profile jobber. Neville went over. Looked great. He's doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
I love Neville. I could watch this guy go and not never hear him say a word. I'll be totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Just have him win belts.
Yeah, he's good.
Always.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I guess.
Dylan Yeager.
Hey, Dylan.
With Jon Stewart being at SummerSlam and Demon King debuting on Raw, what are Finn's chances of losing because of an interference by Stewart similar to how Cena lost last year?
Zero.
Yeah, zero.
None. None whatsoever. I think there is going to be a backstage thing with him and Seth. However, there's no way that Stewart's going to interfere. I think that any interference for the inaugural match for the Universal title will be the club.
Setting up this next question. From Jefferson, will Jon Stewart join the club on Sunday and screw over Cena again? Imagine if the club now was Jon Stewart,
yeah,
Anderson, and Gallows.
I would be very happy about that. I would be very happy about that. Not going to happen, no, but I would
gonna
love for that.
Not going to happen.
That would be great.
Ernest Gauker, could SummerSlam see the return of Triple H to screw Rollins out of winning and starting the rumored feud from last year?
Everything I've heard indicates Triple H does not want to be on TV these days. Again, in the description, I'll have to link it. It was either Pro Wrestling News or Daily Wrestling News or one of those. I don't know. I know that I got it from the Inquisitor, who always gets everything from someplace else.
Yeah.
Apparently Triple H doesn't want it because he doesn't want to be, and again, take this with a grain of salt because who knows, he doesn't want to be placed into a feud with Shane because apparently there's legit backstage tension right now and he doesn't want to do that on stage. He doesn't want to do that on camera.
Yeah.
And I think that he wants to be a behind the scenes talent development guy.
Yeah.
I think he wants to run the show and not have to deal with being on camera every week.
And I think there was always that kind of disconnect when he was the heel, especially when he had the belt, and then he had to go to NXT.
Dude, people know Triple H is giving us what we want. And it's so funny because he'll run down the internet, the internet wrestling community.
Yeah.
And I think there's an element of the internet wrestling community that, you know, they're very strict smarks. You know, they're only going to. But guys like us who... We like what we like.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll cheer on guys who the marks cheer on. And we'll cheer on guys who the smarks cheer on. And we have our own proclivities.
Yeah.
He's giving us what we want. He has his fucking... He knows what it should be. It's not even he has his ear to the fans. It's he just knows what it should be.
I know.
Like, look at the Cruiserweight Classic. Know. He knows what it should be. Look at NXT. He knows what it should be. That's Triple H, man.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right. There's just, it's hard to boo. It's hard to disconnect that.
Yeah.
It's hard to separate Triple H in the ring against Triple H backstage, who's orchestrating like a pro wrestling renaissance in the company.
Yeah. Yeah. James Rodriguez, do you think Seth and WWE did a good job of handling the fan running last night on live TV? Yeah.
They did as good as they can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. It's not the kind of thing where you're not at a house show and Triple H in 97 is going to start wailing and kicking a guy in the fucking head.
Yeah.
You know, get him out of there. Make it as short and quick as possible.
Yeah. And Seth played it off really well.
Seth's a pro, dude.
Bland Yoshi, I know you aren't huge Demon fans, but are you also disappointed they wasted the debut in Raw instead of on Sunday? Yes, very much so.
Yeah, we gave our thoughts on that. I'm kind of.
Namikaze Minato, should the Demon King be the next Undertaker?
Bray Wyatt's the next Undertaker.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt should be the next Undertaker.
Yeah.
Kind of already is.
Kind of.
He just needs to start winning.
Yeah, that's the thing. Bear the Gambit, unimpressed with Balor's Demon King character. Chances he wins at SummerSlam, is he face of WWE worthy?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think the Demon's going to be the thing that you only rarely see. I don't think you're going to see him every pay-per-view. You're not going to see him every title defense.
I hope so.
Yeah, it needs to be special. Yes. I would be really surprised if
it has to be pretty much just the major four pay-per-views.
Right, exactly.
Otherwise, Fonz Balor.
But I think Fonz Balor, I love Fonz Balor. I think he's great.
James Rodriguez, do you feel like Roman is still being shoehorned into the main event scene given he closed Raw 2 weeks in a row? I don't know if that's so much him being shoehorned to the main event scene. I think they're treating the U.S. title as an upper mid-card belt.
Since
there's no world title on Raw, that's the top belt. It gets the main event.
Yeah, it's sort of beneficial for everybody involved because it does a lot for Rusev.
Yeah.
Rusev's doing a lot for the belt, and punishing Roman Reigns by having him challenge for the U.S. belt. I don't even think it's necessarily a challenge. I think it's just sort of a reboot of the direction that
they... It's giving him a fresh start, and so far he's run with it pretty well.
He's run with it really well. Like, really well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Rafael Castillo. You guys think it was cool for this week's Raw to main event a mid-card match, or bad because it's Roman maining again?
Here's the thing about Roman, too. I guarantee you the match that him and Rusev put on at SummerSlam, by the end, during the finish, all the false finishes, I'm going to be inherently wanting Roman to win. That's the match that they're going to put on, where I'm going to want the good guy to win, because I think they're good enough to do that at this point. And I think the pressure's off Roman.
Yeah.
And all he can do is put on a... And all he can try to do is put on a good match, and I think he's capable of that. Yeah. We've seen that before.
Yeah. Brenna Elmore. Why did she suddenly like Reigns again? Also, did his win last night change anything?
Because you're like us, apparently. Because... Well, I'm on board the Roman train as long as he's doing what he's doing right now. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
As long as the pressure's off, he can be himself.
But I think his win is part of what they call the 50-50 booking. I think the win paves the path for Rusev to keep the title and everybody looks okay.
Yeah. And to possibly continue the feud after SummerSlam.
I hope so.
Ruben Gutierrez, do you guys think it was a bad move by booking to basically give away one of their SummerSlam matches on Raw?
Now, that's kind of a different question. I understand the motive behind giving him the win. Maybe.
But now you could say that Rusev is doubly motivated now because, A, he wants to keep his belt. B, he lost in the match, which was to protect Lana's honor.
Yeah.
So now he might have a little more motivation behind him to win at SummerSlam.
It's a good point of view.
Jack Rage.
Rage.
Considering Reigns pinned Rusev on Raw, do you think the likelihood of a dusty finish has gone up for SummerSlam? I think the likelihood for a Rusev win has gone up at SummerSlam.
And don't get me wrong, I don't think it's necessarily going to be clean, but fuck, you never know the way they've been booking Roman during his punishment phase. You never know. But I don't know.
If it is clean, it'll probably be something where he just passes out in the accolade.
Yeah, it's... I'd be really surprised if they had him do that. I would love that because... Man, that would make Rusev look so strong.
Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't make Reigns necessarily look weak either, because he didn't give up.
People would love that. People would love him after that, too. Do you think they're going to do that, though? You really think they're going to have Roman Reigns pass out in the accolade? You're insane.
No. That's how Cena lost to Rusev. He passed out in the accolade. He didn't tap out. John Cena never taps out. He passed out.
Boy. I would be surprised and impressed if they did that.
And that is... you can keep that storyline going after SummerSlam because of that. Because Roman can say, rightfully, I never tapped. You never pinned me.
They're going to make Rusev that strong?
They did in his feud with Cena.
Yeah. Oof.
Uniblaster is for real. Do you think the Strowman will compete for the U.S. title, and if so, when?
No, I don't. I think
he will in a year and a half.
The Strowman is above the U.S. title. No. I think the Strowman is on a parallel course. I don't think he's going to be jumping in. I don't think the Strowman cares about titles.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think that he's going to be that... The fuck is happening?
I guess the camera's getting hot.
That's weird.
Let's see if we can get through questions. We'll take a break for a little bit.
Okay.
Ben. With Lesnar on the mic, do you think WWE is slowly moving towards a more independent Lesnar so Heyman can leave?
No. Not at all. No. I think Lesnar loves doing very little.
How much do you think... his
holy shit night. We didn't even talk about Heath. Did we talk about Heath Slater?
No, we didn't. We forgot that.
Oh my god, let's talk about Heath Slater. Holy shit.
Let me ask you this question first. How much do you think Lesnar's involvement last night was due to Dean Ambrose's comments about him?
A lot. I think a lot.
Yep.
I loved Heath Slater last night.
Yeah, it was good.
Dude, that was so good. And here's the problem though. Enjoy Heath Slater right now while you can.
Yeah.
Because they can't go much further than it once he gets his contract, which will happen within the next couple months.
Yeah.
That's just that. That's the thing. And that's what I try to tell myself when I'm watching this is enjoy it in the moment, because it's not like they can really go much further with Heath Slater. He has a ceiling, and I think we're seeing it now. And I love his work right now.
Yeah.
But you can't really chart a path for him that's going to lead to anywhere significant
beyond mid-card,
which is totally fine. Yeah. Like there's a lot, you know, he's a decent worker. He can do good stuff. I don't know. Like this has all the markings of, I need to feed my family, which is a really good angle for him.
Yeah.
Into them going overboard with it.
Yeah.
And doing too much with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And the crowd getting burnt out on it.
Exactly. But I loved it. I thought that he was convincing. I thought he was legit. I thought that he's turned what should be kind of a comedy gimmick into something bigger. And him coming out and showing balls against Brock Lesnar was such a wonderful spotlight for him and what he can do.
Yeah.
And I loved that entire segment. And then, of course, we get another 5 minutes of Paul Heyman talking when it should have been. He F5s the shit out of Heath Slater, kicks him out of the ring. Paul Heyman gives one really impassioned, maybe two-sentence thing, throws the mic down, and they leave.
Yeah.
That's what it should have been.
Yeah. Delete John Cena. If the King of the Ring pay-per-view returns, who will be the first winner, and will they give him a world title shot like before? I still think, like, the King of the Ring should be what I wanted the original Universal title to be.
Mm.
The king of all of WWE.
King of
the
all.
The champion of all of WWE.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping the Universal title would be. Like, once a year, they'd have a tournament, crown a Universal champion of all WWE, defended once a year.
Realistically, though, if they did it, it would be a very mid-carter guy.
I know.
As sort of, and they'd try to do something. Did you read Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett's? He did an interview with somebody, and I fucking forget who.
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't read it, but I saw that.
Yeah, and he basically said, you know, they just didn't do anything afterwards.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Carlos Hackworth, if you could...
He said they gave him the same cape that they gave to Booker T.
Next question. Carlos Hackworth, if you could create a faction on Raw and SmackDown, who would be in it and the names of them? Who would be in your factions and what would the name of said factions be?
On SmackDown? God, that'd be kind of difficult. Then nobody is on SmackDown. Shit, I don't know. We've said this before in our SmackDown recap. The only faction that I would probably put together is SmackDown Club, is the club mm-hmm. version of the SmackDown. That's pretty much all you could do because there just isn't enough talent for factions on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, or Raw for that matter. I mean, that's the thing about the brand split is that you can't really do true factions.
No, right,
factions were like six deep.
Yeah.
And like WWF had like five of them.
If you do that on SmackDown, that's like a quarter of your roster.
Name any other member of Los Boricuas that isn't Savio Vega.
Oh, what was that guy's name?
My point exactly, though. Fine, name a third guy. If you can figure out who the second guy is, name a third one.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it. Cannon Grant. Taking the
Cannon Grant was in Los Boricuas?
Taking the Brock.
I love Cannon Grant. He's got Raw recaps on his YouTube channel. Check it out at That Cannon Guy. And then I'm going to get a Snapchat from him tonight saying, Steve, thank you so much for shouting out my YouTube channel. I love his voice. I want to get him on the show.
Taking the Brock Lesnar Easter egg in the Goldberg 2K17 spot and the rumors of Goldberg being in Brooklyn for SummerSlam into consideration. Do you see him? Oh, we talked about this. Attacking the nightmare of Piss Break City leading up to a redemption match between the two at WrestleMania 33.
We already talked about that, Cannon.
Hunter Copeland, top three theme songs in WWE today. One, Bobby Roode, Glorious Domination.
Two, Shinsuke Nakamura, whatever it's called.
Three.
There's a lot of good ones. What stands out as the third best? What gets you amped?
I would have said Sasha Banks's, but then after the performance at WrestleMania.
Oh, you can't. You can't anymore.
I really like Asuka's.
I really like Asuka's. I really like Seth Rollins. I really like...
Kevin Owens isn't bad.
Kevin Owens. I really like...
I like Enzo and Cass's.
I really like Enzo and Cass's. There has to be some...
Honestly, it's Bobby Roode, Shinsuke,
what do you think of
everybody
Samoa
else.
Joe's?
It's fine.
I think of him when I hear... I mean, that is the one great thing that they do. They're able to match the theme to the person coming out. And Samoa Joe's does that perfectly. Big guy.
But, you know, it's somewhat ominous. Somewhat.
A little bit ominous. Not
the opening. The opening is.
Not as ominous as it really should be.
I don't mind it. It's fine.
Because, here's my thing about it. That could have easily been like Rikishi's theme song.
Didn't they? They changed it up, though. His initial theme was nowhere near that.
Oh, yeah.
So they changed it to that.
Yeah.
Chris Thompson. And
did we say what number three was?
Well, no, I said it.
Everything else is number three?
Yeah, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke.
I mean, look, Chris Jericho's is decades old.
And yeah, it's pretty iconic.
It's still iconic. Like, it's still one of the best.
It's true.
AJ Styles is really good.
Mm-hmm.
His is really good.
Chris Thompson. In your opinion, what was the best pay-per-view so far this year? His is Battleground, just the most quality matches. Battleground was good.
That sounds correct. I think Battleground was the best one.
Yeah. Jay Pablo.
Battleground had the blow off Sami Zayn, yeah. Kevin Owens.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Jay Pablo, he says here how to pronounce his name correctly. Hinoosa. Okay.
I don't know, man.
There is no denying that Enzo and Cass are getting a big push. It seems that Enzo's accident helped them a lot. What other real mishaps can you remember that actually helped the affected in the end? When Triple H tore his quad the first time and he came back, he got an enormous ovation.
That's the biggest one right there. That's the biggest one. When John Cena came back for the Royal Rumble after being injured, and it was like 3 months insanely.
Early. Yeah.
Yeah, soon. That was a big one. There's so many John Cena moments throughout the aughts that are actually really impressive and got over so huge.
Yeah.
It's difficult to not just see them as one big mass of really good shit.
Yeah, I know.
It's difficult to pinpoint moments, but there were a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Josh Lazo, do you think the winner of the Cesaro Sheamus Best of Seven will get a major push? Also, keep up the good work. We love the show. Hope so.
Well, Cesaro's going to win it. I don't see him getting a big push anytime soon.
That's true.
What did I say before? Mythical creature? Yeah, what is Cesaro's big push, Bigfoot, and the Loch Ness Monster all have in common? They're all mythical.
Carlos Hackworth, given the Best of Seven series happening, what type of matches would you like to see? What type of, like, gimmicky type matches or series of matches?
The was one with the cowbell on it.
Oh, the bull rope match?
Texas bull rope match. I want to see that match. I want to see, like, something that involves, like, super soakers, maybe. Some sort of match where you're, like, firing super soakers at each other.
That's interesting. That's some innovation there.
Good one there. Like, one, you know what they should have? They should have an Arn Sid scissors match.
Scissors on a pole match?
Yeah, where you get, there's, like, a chair leg and then a broken beer bottle and then a pair of scissors.
Okay.
And then the winner is the guy who says, hey, stop, because I'm going to die.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Those are the matches I want to see. I don't know. I mean, dude, it's Sheamus. Like, how many? I can count on Cesaro to take something and run with it in terms of in-ring work.
Yeah.
I can't count on Sheamus to do the same thing. I just can't.
I know.
Maybe you'll impress me. Clean slate with Sheamus. I wish him the best.
David Fishkind, how would you insert Sami Zayn into the current SummerSlam card in a match feud with another superstar doing nothing now?
Oh, another superstar. Because I was going to say, okay, SummerSlam opens. Backstage, Sheamus is walking, and then Bill Goldberg in his giant Goldberg truck comes by and runs him over.
Okay.
Who's going to fight? Sami Zayn. Oh.
Let's go.
Oh.
Good idea.
There you go.
David Hobbs, with Jericho getting the upper hand, is there a chance they win and then the feud continues, or will Jericho KO happen? I'm still thinking they break up the team at SummerSlam, they feud.
The only thing that might put a wrench into that plan, because I think that's probably the original plan or the plan, is how well people are responding to Jericho and Kevin Owens. But they may also think, okay, well, that's fine. Put them in a feud against each other, and it's still going to be money.
Yeah.
Because I love this. Jericho's fucking great. The whole thing, how he's taken so literally. Kevin Owens has my back. As if he's never had a friend that's really done that before.
I know.
I love that. It's so great.
It's pretty great. Richard Gonzalez, do you think WWE is already misusing Jinder Mahal? Do you think they have any plans for him in the future?
I think their plan is to keep on doing what they're doing with him. They'll probably let him rack up a win or two here or there, but they're going to use him to be a couple steps above, Braun Strowman's local enhancement talent guys.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I think that's why they brought him back. He's kind of a name. He looks great. He knows the system. He knows the company. Bring him back and put guys. He went as soon as I found out he lost on Superstars Jack Swagger. I'm like, okay, they're not going to do anything with him. They brought him back simply to job.
That's a bummer. Be good to bring him back and give him an opportunity.
I mean, maybe he's just crap on the mic. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't remember. I think he looks great. I think he looks amazing. But you got to be good.
His ring work's fine.
Yeah, it is.
Jay Cash.
Long legs on that guy.
After Brock killed Heath, Randy should have RKO'd him out of nowhere and let Heath get the pin. would have made two angles actually interesting and raised the stakes for SummerSlam. Mm. Would have been unexpected, exciting, but no. Yeah, thoughts?
I disagree with that. Heath Slater getting any pin at all, doesn't matter how it happens, on Brock Lesnar makes Brock look so bad. I kind of disagree with you on that one, Jay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nathan Ragland. With how violent Foley seemed, do you see Mick Foley fight in some sort of match in the future?
Oh, God, no. No way.
I don't think his body's up for it.
I don't think he can. That shirt looked really cool on him, though. He looked really cool last night. He had to have a nice raw.
He had a Facebook post about the wonders that DDP Yoga's done for him. He's lost a lot of weight.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because he still wears the old Foley stuff, which was designed to kind of mask how fat he was. And now it kind of masks how much weight he's obviously lost, because he looks
great. When he came out last night and he was kind of walking in profiles, you can tell.
Yeah, you can totally tell.
How svelte he is now. Last question from the 22-time European champion. What superstar is your sleeper pick to win at SummerSlam?
This is a legit question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put him over. Now, in my eyes, he's the 14-time European champ.
22-time.
Okay, so what are we talking about here?
Sleeper pick.
My sleeper
pick. To win at SummerSlam.
So somebody who might not necessarily... Is Dolph a sleeper pick to win?
Yes, very much so.
This is like deep sleep, though, dude.
Yeah.
But he's not like... Okay, what's like a realistic sleeper pick? I think that's what our friend Dwayne is asking here.
My first instinct was to say Roman Reigns, even though I don't know if he's necessarily a sleeper pick. We both think that Rusev's going to retain.
I think he's as close to a sleeper pick, maybe, as we can... Dead right now?
Yeah.
The New Day, maybe? Because that's even inching towards 50-50, but I think the club's going to win.
Yeah.
Sleeper pick to win at SummerSlam. I don't know. So it's so many of them. I mean, it's a pretty good card. Mm-hmm. It's a well put together card,
mm-hmm.
and it's had a decent build.
Is Randy Orton your sleeper pick to win?
That's a sleeper pick. Okay. That's a sleeper pick. Yes, he is my sleeper pick to win.
Video questions. First one. Wait, what?
Patrick Sparks.
Kid Corbin.
Hey, friendos. Patrick here.
Hey, friendos. Ryborg here, coming from you from my car. My question for you this week is, how do you feel about The Undertaker's American Badass character? As a kid, I didn't really mind it. I actually thought it was really cool. Now that I look back on it, it's not too bad, but... also not very good. And you should also do a Book of the Match on the Fully Loaded 2000 pay-per-view. I just watched it the other night, and it's pretty good in my opinion.
Thank you, Patrick.
Two of our video questions today have the Ryborg thing going. You'll see the other one in a second here.
Yeah.
I love that. Did you see the Ryborg Instagram?
No, you told me about that.
I told you about it.
We went to El Pollo Loco.
He went to El Pollo Loco. He said, hi, I'd like you to feed me more. But he said it very, like, self-consciously. You know, like, hi, how's it going? I'm Ryborg. I'd like you to feed me more. I'd like two chicken enchiladas. Full disclosure. I feel terrible. Terrible saying this. I liked the American Badass character.
I didn't like it at all.
I did. I thought it fit perfectly for the time. I thought it was a good... swerve away from a horse that had sort of, I'm not going to say a deadbeat horse, but something that had been just run to the ground a bit too much.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this too. I loved that he came out to Limp Bizkit. I thought it worked. So look, sometimes wrestling just has to be cheesy. And I loved that he came out to Roland. It was so bad, but it worked. That was the inner Hilton in me coming out. It worked fucking too well.
I'm so disappointed in you.
Too well. I loved it. I don't care, Patrick. I loved it.
I don't like it at all.
Your instinct as a kid was completely and totally accurate.
Next question from Eric Barron.
Hey, friendos. This is my first video question. It's Eric B. here. And I figured I'd do it just like the big guy, right from live from the car. So my question is for you guys. Vince Russo said on one of his recent podcasts that Finn Balor should be wearing his devil gimmick makeup all the time. And saying that Fonzie Balor is stupid. just kind of want to know your opinion on that, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Eric.
So apparently...
Again, with Vince, the Ryborg. I love the Ryborg stuff.
Vince Russo thinks...
Be careful. All you $20 patrons and up who are eligible to submit video questions, and we love getting them. If you're going to do the Ryborg thing, driving in the car asking a question, which...
Well, first of all, don't drive. Make sure the car is stationary. So Vince Russo's opinion of Finn Balor is that Balor should be the Demon King all the time. No.
I've listened to some of Vince Russo's podcast since it started.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. I don't think he said many things that I agree with. And so much of what he does say, and by all means, check it out and you know, determine this for yourself or not, seems to come from a place of, I don't want to say bitterness, but there isn't a lot of other words I can think of that could describe it. You know, when Balor first came out on that Raw, which I thought was a spectacular debut, he put up a picture of the Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah. Gosh.
And
that was awful.
It's just, it's.
That was so
bad. And people were throwing the word racist at him, and you can debate that. But it was just ugly and stupid.
Yeah, very stupid.
And feels like it comes from a place of bitterness in that he's not in control doing the writing anymore and maybe feels like he's been passed over. I don't know what his deal is. But he's not a stupid guy. You listen to his stuff and he seems like a relatively smart guy. But shit like that is so... It's so illustrative of... It feels like he's just fucking bitter.
Yeah.
And because I thought Finn's debut was a million fucking bucks. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
You know, it was really well done. Everybody genuflected over Finn Balor when he came out. And he exuded a confidence that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
You know, very few guys. Guys who have been around for a while. And for him to reduce him to, you know, claiming that he's an Irish stereotype or something... I was like, it doesn't resonate. That resonates in your own weird fucking head, Vince.
Yeah.
Nobody else
just stupid.
Fucking felt that way.
It's just stupid.
It's just fucking stupid.
He's just being stupid.
And it's I don't know. It's just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
So, no, whatever Vince Russo says, chances are I'm going to think the exact opposite.
Yes.
And I'm thinking the exact opposite here. I think that the Demon should be brought out from time to time. In special situations to fuck with his opponent's head. The less demon, the better. Yeah, exactly. I freaking think Fonz Balor's great, to be honest with you.
Next question from Adrian Stroop.
Hey, friendos. Having just got my tickets for Survivor Series up here in Toronto, I was just wondering, if the rosters remain the same, who do you expect would be on the inevitable SmackDown versus Raw Survivor Series match? And who do you think takes it?
Thanks, Adrian. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the community. Survivor Series, Matt. Well, here's the problem. SmackDown doesn't have a whole lot of people there at the top, and you can't put everybody at the top into the Survivor Series match.
No,
right?
But let's try.
Okay.
Let's take Dean and, assuming Finn wins at SummerSlam, let's take those out of the equation because they'll probably have to defend their championships.
Okay.
So that leaves for, let's do SmackDown because there's fewer names to consider.
SmackDown should obviously be a Team Cena thing.
Yes, Cena. Do you think Orton would be on that team?
No.
So we have Cena.
Kalisto.
Apollo Crews.
For sure.
American Alpha.
That's five.
No, that's, yeah, five. There you go.
Yeah, there that's you five. Go. Okay, all right. Okay, there you go.
And then Team Raw.
Team Raw. The New Day.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to be involved. Is there another? No, Enzo and Cass.
Oh, Enzo and Cass.
Enzo and Cass.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn for sure. Cesaro. And who's the lead face that isn't Finn right now? Roman.
There you go.
Roman.
There you go.
Be Roman. Team Cena wins, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Cena always wins.
Cena always wins. Next question from Kevin Larb.
Let's see it.
Hey, Steven Larson, Kevin Larb here, and I wanted to see what you guys thought of this idea. So we already know that at SummerSlam, Dean is going to go over Ziggler, and it's going to be a great match, of course. There's going to be interference with the Wyatts. So the following week is SmackDown, and that SmackDown is all about building up to Backlash, which is the next pay-per-view, solo pay-per-view for SmackDown. And it has to be big. So instead of Daniel Bryan coming out, Shane McMahon comes out, and he announces that there's going to be a rematch between Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose because of the interference. It wasn't fair to Ziggler. But then he also says, shame on you, Wyatts. You know, you interfered in this great match that could have been outstanding. This was SmackDown's time to shine, and you guys ruined that for the fans. So the Wyatts come out, and Bray Wyatt and Shane get in and out of it a little bit. And Shane maybe says, you know what, because of that, you guys are suspended, or why you're not able to go for the title. That's why you're not in this match, or you're not going to get an opportunity to wrestle for the title under my watch because you robbed the fans of that match. So Bray says, you know, Southern and cool, you know what, man, fine, man. Him and Rowan turn to leave, but then Wyatt turns around, right, and he attacks Shane. So Shane now is out for the next SmackDown because he is hurt. So Daniel Bryan is taking over. Daniel Bryan, of course, says the Wyatts are barred from SmackDown. They are suspended indefinitely. This leads to, on that show, maybe the Wyatts coming in and doing surprise attacks, laying waste to everybody, maybe trying to get to Daniel Bryan. So on the next week's SmackDown, Shane is back, and Shane goes, that suspension is lifted. Bray, you laid your hands on me. At Backlash, it is you and it's me. And then maybe that feud between Wyatt and Shane, the Authority or whatever him and Daniel Bryan are, that can lead to, you know, Survivor Series.
I'll be completely honest.
Even to the Royal
Rumble. I don't
want
to see Shane
wrestle. That was my idea. I want
to see
what you guys thought of that.
I agree.
Love the show.
I think Wyatt should be focusing on... I don't want to see any Authority member. I really don't even want to see Shane or Daniel Bryan. They don't move me on the product. They don't sell the product to me.
Whatever.
They meddle too much.
Whenever I hear about Daniel Bryan's comments on Talking Smack after SmackDown, yeah, I'm more intrigued by that than his performance on the actual show, I think.
Me too. And even then, I'm not even that intrigued. I like when he runs down Raw. It's kind of funny sometimes. You know, talking about the intergalactic, interspecies
belt.
That
was great.
That was pretty funny. I like Daniel Bryan. It's just I'm there for the wrestlers, not for the Authority figures. You know, I think that what they're doing with Stephanie and Mick, I think, works really well on Raw. I feel like on SmackDown, it's more of the Daniel Bryan Shane show.
If it is, it's not by much. They're not on the show a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they meddle too much.
I don't think they do. One more video question from Richie Watson.
Richie Watson's the main event here in the video question section. Let's see, Richie.
Well, hello, Stephen. Video question champion.
Anyway, I was wondering, what movie character would you like to see in the WWE? For me, it had to be Flash Gordon, you know, because he was glorious way before Bobby Roode. And it's the best movie in the world. Best movie in the world. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Best movie in the world. So, yeah. And I see you jabronis in a comic session incorrectly spelling my name. If you're trying to insult me, learn to spell it. Then they spell my name. Anyway.
Look at Richie calling out the YouTube commenters too. He says that if you're going to insult him, spell his name right. But I would think that if you're insulting somebody, getting their name correct is probably going to be the last thing in your mind.
Could be.
Look, I love that Richie Watson has carved out his own section here on Going In Raw. And you guys can too if you kick in on the Patreon for $20 a month.
Yeah.
But anyways, his question is, what movie characters like to see in the WWE? Alexander Delage, sir. Huh? There's a faction. Clockwork Orange guys.
Oh, the Droogs?
The Droogs, brother.
First name that came to mind was Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
That's fucked up. That's dark. That's fucked up, man. You can't be killing people in WWE.
Well, I wasn't saying that he would be out there killing people, just like him, you know, like especially in the Paul Allen scene where he had the rain jacket on.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to my head. I'm sorry.
What was the restaurant they wanted to get to? Dorsia.
Dorsia.
Would you like to go to Dorsia? What would Ivana Trump be doing at Tex-Mex, Patrick? We can quote that fucking movie all day
long.
Yeah,
we used to watch that a lot in college.
I love it.
All right, are you ready?
Bring it on. Tomorrow's the first edition of Barry Windham.
I know. Are you ready for that?
I got to rethink this whole idea of Barry Windham. I feel like it's going to take a lot of time for me to do this.
You mean in terms of researching?
Yeah.
You mean just going beyond Wikipedia?
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, I mean, look, I just think on a weekly basis for one of us, for each of us.
Yeah, especially with KV. We'll think about it. We can put it in a holding pattern for now. Are you ready? Okay, so the vote was...
Are you ready?
First of all, what is Kayfabe Corner?
It's the greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever concocted, Larson.
What are the parameters of this challenge?
12 names, real, fake, 6 each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this week, the theme...
guys can vote on the theme.
$10 or more.
We put forth 2 names every week on the Patreon for $10 and up patrons, and you can vote on which one you want to see us research and then concoct names for.
Some would say that this theme this week is too sweet because it was, Kevin Nash versus Scott Hall.
Did you see when Finn Balor did that to Shinsuke Nakamura? He just went...
Yeah, on his forehead.
Yeah.
Scott Hall won.
Oh!
One more for the bad guy.
What did I want you to say in his voice? Oh, when is CM Punk ever... Is CM Punk ever going to fight at in the UFC?
Let's get through this and I'll do it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
One.
I'm not feeling good because of my haircut today.
Okay.
Be honest with you.
Bron Hardy.
That's so stupid.
What?
That's fake.
Yeah, of course it's fake.
That's the worst name you ever come up with.
2. Jack Forrester.
You said Bron Hardy. Jack Forrester? That's fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
3. Ernesto Kojima.
Oh, that's real. Yeah, I think I saw that one last time when I did the New Japan stuff.
Oh, okay. 4. Desmond Mann.
Desmond Mann. Desmond Mann. I'm going to go with... I'll say fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. 5. Matt Mann.
Matt Mann?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I've seen that before. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's one of Raven's names, apparently.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
6.
Uh-huh.
Rick Beanbag.
Rick Beanbag. That's gotta be too ridiculous. That's real.
Yep.
Okay.
7. The Booty.
That's real.
Fake.
Damn it. That was a good one. That was perfect till then.
Yep. Next, Atlas DeBone.
Atlas DeBone. How do you spell DeBone?
DaBone. One word.
That's a good name. I'll say it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Next, Charlie Green.
I mean, it's got to be. That just sounds real. That's real.
Fake.
Really?
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Bo James.
Bo James. That's real. I think it's Road Dogg's brother. Or is Road
Dogg?
No,
it's not.
Really? It's fake?
No, it's real, but it's Road Dogg. Next.
I'm telling you it does.
Derek Draper.
Or is it when it kips off? I don't know. Who? What? Derek Draper? Derek Draper. No, that's fake. You've been watching Mad Men.
Real.
Real? Really?
Yeah.
What? Who's Derek Draper?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Last one.
Okay.
Badger Man.
Badger Man. Real.
Fake.
Bummer.
What do you got?
I got 8.
That's not bad. Two questions. Are you ready?
I should have gotten more than 8 because I was smoking.
Yeah, you had a good start.
I did.
First trivia question.
Okay.
Who did Scott Hall face in his first WWE match? Televised match.
I will say IRS.
Paul Van Dow.
Fuck. Was it his razor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second trivia question. You might know this one. This is a more recent event.
Paul Van Dow is a good one.
Who did Scott Hall defeat to win the Iron Man Heavy Metal
Championship? Shit, okay, shit, son of a bitch. He did it in a rock, paper, scissors, I think. And then he lost it.
While you think about this, Iceman on Twitter asked how we come up with some of these names, the real and fake ones. The real ones are either aliases for the...
Colt Cabana.
That's who he lost it to.
Joey Ryan.
He beat Chuck Taylor for it.
Oh, I didn't even fucking know that one. God damn it. I've been keeping up with that heavy metal belt too. Son of a bitch.
I thought that might have been a gimme. But
if
we've exhausted all the aliases for the wrestler who's, the theme is about, then we'll go to people he had matches with and stuff. Generally, that's how.
What was his question? What was his question?
Iceman on Twitter asked about how he came up with the names for Kayfabe Corner.
Oh, okay. I mean, shit. Yeah, mine is mainly.
We take a look at that person's entire career.
Yeah.
And find names.
Yeah, just find names, and then like, you know, I don't know how you usually do it, but I usually do, like, you know, I'll write down, like, my order first of, like, okay, fake, real, real, whatever. And then I'll usually toss in the reels first and then come up with fakes. But in the course of coming up with fakes, if I see reels that are, like, too cool, like,
better.
Then I'll plug those
in.
Yeah,
I kind of do the same thing.
And then, yeah, it's just, like, opponents. I'll start switching up names. Or I'll come up with, like, an anchor, like, one word anchor, and then I'll use something from somebody else. Yeah. So that's how we come up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, well, go back to your list real quick.
What?
Go back to your list. I like this. This might be what he's asking, though. I like when we used to say, yeah, this person was this, this person was this.
I didn't make notes really of.
Okay. Do you remember any of them?
Ernesto Kojima was one of the aliases of the guy that trained Scott Hall.
Where did you get Desmond Mann from?
I don't remember. Oh, Chris Guy.
Who was Matt Mann?
Raven.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Desmond Mann was... I was inspired by Colt Cabana, who was wrestling under Chris Guy. The Booty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I see someone's name, like in this case it was April Hunter, who was using the name The Prize, I'll go to a thesaurus and find other words.
Like
in this case, Prize, one of the words came was Booty.
Booty.
Like Pirate's Booty.
Like the loot. Like the loot.
Pirate's
Booty,
yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
Badger Man. Where'd you get Badger Man from?
Someone was Skunk Man.
Boy, that could have been on the list, too. All right. Anyways, very well done. What did I get? 8?
Yeah.
I stalled out at 8. Should have been 9. So what does that put us at? You know?
You're up 4.
I'm up 4, but you have yet to go.
Yeah.
So if...
If I get more than 4, I retain the lead.
God damn it. All right, I got to bring my A game.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we going to do the dirt sheet next this week? We're going to be on a plane.
I guess we have to do it.
Do it from the hotel?
Or do it Wednesday.
Jesus Christ, what's going on? You about to throw up all over?
I'm hungry.
All right. Anyways, we're going to get this guy some food. Thanks so much for tuning in and supporting the cause. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.